Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, please stay with me. It will be 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, some education, and no manipulation, no hidden agendas, because, as you know, we don't sell anything here. This is not an infomercial. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not trying to get you to fess it up, give it up, anything like that. This show is simply about truth, accurate truth from the scriptures, from the Bible. That's right, it's a religious show. If it's your first time to listen, but don't freak out. We're not going to be jumping up and down like a one-legged shortstop here. We are going to give you some accurate information that hopefully will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you want to orient and adjust to the plan, you have the freedom, you have the privacy, you can do what you want to do with it. But my job as host of this radio show is to give you accurate information, not human speculation, accurate information. And those things that I give you will always come from the canon of Scripture, from the Bible. Not human viewpoint thinking, but divine viewpoint. What does the Bible say about this? Now, before we get into our show today, I want to thank the many of you that wrote and said, please keep the show on my station in my city. Many of you did write, and I'm very, very thankful. We have made some decisions, and we are going to be canceling three of our shows. But we picked up three new shows. We are now broadcasting in Lubbock and in Waco and in Houston, all in the state of Texas, and three of our shows that we are going to drop. But let me tell you this. That doesn't mean that you can't continue to hear the radio shows. First of all the radio shows are on my website, rickhughesministries.org. So at any time that you're at your computer, if you would like to listen to a radio show, simply go to the website, rickhughesministries.org, and click on radio, and then you will see all the shows listed by date. If you click on the show you want to listen to, it will come up on your computer, and it will play it right there. We also podcast all of our shows, if you're into that, and so you can download them from Apple iTunes and listen that way. And there's one other way. If you would like to continue to receive the shows, but in your area we've stopped broadcasting, we will be more than happy to send you an MP3 disc ever so often of all the shows. If your car will play an MP3 disc, and most new cars will, you just stick it in the CD player and it'll play it. Or if your computer will always play the MP3 disc, I'm sure of that. Or you can buy an MP3 player. Whatever way you want to do it, we can provide you with the radio shows. But let me just remind you of something. I'm not a pastor. It's not my job to take you to spiritual maturity. I'm sort of a scout. I'm sort of out there looking for you, those of you that are hungry, those of you that have positive volition, those of you that want to grow to spiritual maturity. And my job, as I see it, is to direct you to a qualified pastor so that you can begin to study on a daily basis and learn from him. If you'd like information regarding those that I'm aware of, you let me know. And we'll get in touch. We'll put you in touch with these sort of people. But I'm aware of 7 or 8 or 10 guys that have been pastoring their church for some of them as long as 30 years. And all of their messages are recorded and made free of charge, no charge ever. And you can get those messages, some of them by DVD and some of them by MP3. Some of them are broadcast live on the internet. But these men are all qualified pastors, and they teach normally a minimum of 4 hours every week. So there's at least 4 hours of Bible study you can get. There's no comparison. You getting under a qualified pastor, listening to that pastor teach you, the man who is assigned by God to shepherd your soul. That's not me. I have not been assigned by God to shepherd your soul. My job was to alert you to this sort of teaching, to inform you of how you can grow spiritually and teach you those 10 problem-solving devices known as the Flatline. But in the meantime, hoping and praying that you want to learn more and you are willing to grow more and you're willing to put forth the effort. That's all it takes. It takes you being willing to put forth the effort. And if you're willing to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then the information is definitely there and it is definitely available. Now, in regards to this show today, keep in mind that this is not ever a political show. I never want to get into political commentary. That's not what my job is. But like you, I have watched the results of the tragedy at the school shooting in Connecticut. I have watched people trying to make sense out of what happened. And the only thing that I can tell you, and I'm going to give you some facts here in a minute, but keep in mind, it has happened before, and it will happen again. And there are reasons for that. So let's start with this. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, as the Lord looked upon his creation and upon the hearts of man, this is what God said. Every inclination of the thoughts of their mind was on evil all the time. That almost sounds like a commentary on the United States of America. Remember, it wasn't very long after this that our Father destroyed this world with a flood, and only Noah and his family came through the other side. The thoughts of their mind was on evil all the time. Evil is an interesting thing. Let me just try to say this. Sin and evil are different. Sin is something you do, like, you know, mental attitude sins or sins of the tongue or even overt sins. But evil is a system. It's a system of Satan's genius. And God's genius is called grace. God says in the Bible, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest someone should brag about it." But Satan will tell you, "For by grace are you saved through faith and giving up butter beans." You see, Satan wants to add something to the believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you start adding something, then you get into evil, because evil does away with grace. And this is exactly what our Lord faced when he faced the Pharisees who were so evil in Jerusalem, in Cana, in Capernaum during his ministry. They hated him because he taught grace. My pastor recently taught the passage about the woman taken in adultery and brought before him. And they demanded that Jesus Christ, our Lord, give them an answer about what they should do with this woman. I don't know if you remember the passage in John chapter 8, but our Lord simply said, "If you have no sin, you go ahead and cast the first stone." Well, all the Pharisees left, and no one was left there, and our Lord simply said to the woman, "Go and sin no more." You see, this is grace. God's grace is demonstrated when he forgives us of our sin. Our first problem-solving device is rebound, and rebound is all about grace. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all wrongdoing. That's 1 John 1:9. And that's grace. You can go to God as a member of the royal family of God, as a believer priest, and you can admit your sin to God. Now, evil wants you to admit your sin to God and get up in front of the congregation and tell the congregation what you did. See, that's evil. It's no one's business what you did. But Satan loves to impugn the name of God. So anytime he gets a chance to embarrass a person of the clergy who made a mistake, or even for that sake embarrass the military, two of the greatest institutions in America, the military and the clergy. And if we can erode public confidence in these two organizations, then the nation will easily be diverted from truth. And if you'll watch the news, that's exactly what goes on every day. Every day you'll hear something about some leader of the church who failed, or every day you'll hear something about some military leader who failed. But you will never, hardly ever, hear anything about a politician who failed, because they are really good at covering their tracks, aren't they? The Bible says every inclination of the thoughts of their mind was on evil all the time. The word inclination is a noun pronounced in the Hebrew yetzer, and it simply means their intentions or their plans. In Genesis 8:21, the inclination of their mind is evil from childhood on. That word yetzer became a well-known term in ancient theology for the sin nature. Everyone is born with a sin nature. The nicest, most sweetest, wonderful person that you know has a sin nature. Maybe that's your grandmother. Maybe that's your grandfather. Maybe it's an aunt or an uncle. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your pastor. Maybe it's your favorite political first person. But everybody has a sin nature. We are born that way. The Bible says, "For by one man sin came into this world, and death by sin, and now death has passed on all. For all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death." In Jeremiah 17:9, we find another passage that says, "The heart is deceitful about all things, and beyond cure, who can understand it?" When we talk about the heart, we're talking about that inner part of man that makes decisions, not the part that pumps blood. Not that. But that part of you, there's two words used in the Bible, mind and then heart, okay? H-E-A-R-T. We use that in the Greek as the cardia, and the mind is the Greek word nous. And normally, the way these two things work in the Greek New Testament is any information you learn stages in your nous or your mind, but it's not effective until you cycle it over to your heart, and you do that by believing and applying it into your life. Once it's in your heart, it becomes part of your frame of reference, part of your memory center, part of your vocabulary. In other words, it weaves its way into the very thread of your life. So when the Bible talks about the heart is deceitful about all things, and beyond cure, who can understand it? There's hardly a stronger statement of the wickedness of the human race than that statement right there. But listen to Psalm 53:2. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand and who seek after God. They have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There are none who does good, not even one. That sounds like America. In Proverbs 28:6, the one who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but the one who walks in wisdom will escape. Escape is a verb, which is the verb yamalet, and it means to escape from trouble. And what this verse is doing is describing an arrogant, self-reliant man who uses his own ideas and who is not seeking the trained professional that can give him the answers that he needs. So it's very important that you remember that. The answers that you and I are looking for are in the Bible. And there are trained professionals known as pastor teachers whose job it is to teach us the Bible, to teach us the Word of God, not to listen to some politician who's going to tell you that the Bible is a bunch of hocus-pocus nonsense. You need to trust me. So let me give you some principles. Here's the first one. The heart of every person is defiled with Adam's original sin. Thus, every one of us, you and me, we have a sin nature. And secondly, if, in fact, we have a sin nature and we have a nation of unchecked old sin natures, we have chaos. So something has to check the old sin nature. How does the old sin nature get held in check? What do we do to stop it from self-destruction of the person that it is in? Because that's what will happen. If your old sin nature runs amok, it'll destroy you. It'll make you a slave to sin, and it will destroy you. So if we have a nation of unchecked old sin natures, we're going to have chaos. So discipline in the home is critical to teaching humility to the future generation. Discipline in the home is critical for teaching humility to a future generation. Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold discipline from a child. Even if you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, you will deliver him from death. Proverbs 17:25, a foolish child is a grief to his father and bitterness to the mother who bore him. Proverbs 13:24, the one who spares his rod hates his child, but the one who loves his child is diligent to discipline him. What is the Bible saying here? The Bible is saying without you as a parent teaching authority orientation by means of discipline, you will raise a child who has an unchecked old sin nature, because they will have no authority orientation. They will be self-righteous and self-reliant. They will not seek wisdom, nor will they seek answers, because they will believe they're smarter than everyone else, and that's a typical symptom of an arrogant person. He justifies why he does what he does. He lies to himself into believing that he's right and everyone else is wrong, and he becomes totally self-absorbed with whatever it is he's up to. And I know different children respond to different levels of discipline. I am not, and I repeat this, I am not a child psychologist, but I know that we must discipline our children or we create monsters. Once we instill authority orientation in our children, we then must give them norms and standards to function by throughout the rest of their lives. So we have basically three things we must do with our children. If we don't, we're going to have a nation full of monsters. And I think you and I could pretty well say we have a nation full of monsters today. Look at what just happened. Look at what has happened. And you don't even have a clue of what's coming down the pipe. Unless parents begin to teach authority orientation by using discipline, and this is one of the ways we've gone wrong in America, we've listened to different psychologists, child psychologists, who have told us that we're not to discipline our children and that it's a crime to strike your child. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible talks about the rod of discipline. You heard me read it to you. I read it to you. Do not withhold discipline from a child. And so we have a generation of monsters running loose out there today. Some have no parents. Some have had one parent, but not two. I'm like that. I only had one parent. I had a mother, but not a father. Never met my father. I don't even have a clue who my father is. I wish I did. I wish I could meet him, and I wish I could have him say, I'm proud of you, son. But I haven't ever met my father. But that doesn't mean that I have to be a loser and a criminal because I only have a mother and not a father. You know what changed me? Salvation. When I believed in Jesus Christ at the age of 22, my life took a radical change. Had that not happened, had I not become a Christian, I have no doubt in my mind I would not be sitting here today. I'd be long gone from the face of this earth. But God had a plan for my life. I had to learn it, and I had to learn what to say, because I can't just get up here and make things up. And that took years of study, years of learning, sitting under a qualified pastor who taught the Word of God to me so that when I spoke, I could have content to what I'm saying, not just be a comedian. So we must teach our children authority orientation. And the second thing, we must give our children norms and standards. Those norms and standards are what carry them through their life. Norms and standards. Norms, you teach your child, a new child, you teach them how to potty in the bathroom instead of in their diapers. You teach them to brush their teeth. You teach them hygiene. You teach them the property of others. Don't take from your brother. Don't take from your sister without asking. You teach them respect for property. You teach them manners. These are norms that carry them into their conscience. You embed these norms in their conscience, and it carries them all of their lives. It equips them to handle public circumstances. And then standards, norms and standards. What are standards? Well, these are the rules you operate under. And you can choose to operate under human rules, or you can choose to operate under divine rules. The standards that I believe we should teach our children begin with, for example, the Ten Commandments. There are 10 biblical standards that, in effect, guarantee the freedom of a nation. But you see, this has been attacked today. Take it down. Get it out of the schools. Get it out of the public arena. We don't want people reading those Ten Commandments. It's a violation. That is a lie. It is a satanic attack to stop any young person from understanding biblical standards. Thank goodness there are some Christian parents who still teach the Word of God to their children and who give their children biblical standards. Divine viewpoint thinking. Not human viewpoint, divine viewpoint. Listen to Proverbs 1:24. I called out to you, but you refused to listen. I stretched out my hand, but no one paid attention, because you neglected all of my advice, and you did not comply with my rebuke. So I will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock you when what you dread comes. When what you dread comes like a tornado, and disaster strikes you like a devastating storm, when distressing trouble comes to you, then you will call to me, but I will not answer. You will seek me, but you won't find me, because you hated moral knowledge, and you did not choose to respect the Lord. You did not comply with my advice, and you spurned my rebuke. Therefore, you shall eat from the fruit of your own ways, and you will be stuffed full with your own counsel. I just read to you Proverbs 1:24 through 31. Now, if that doesn't wake you up, nothing does. The fruit of your own ways, you will eat from it. What we are experiencing in America today, in things like these school shootings and other unmentionable things that are going on, are the fruit of our own ways, because we have spurned God's word. We would not listen when he stretched out his hand. We neglected all of his advice and did not comply with his rebuke. In fact, we've demonized those who seek to tell us what the Bible says, and we've patronized the other religions who don't believe like we believe as a Christian. And so here we have mixed signals beginning in Washington and going all the way down to the local level. So what is a child supposed to do who grows up with no authority and orientation, no norms, and no standards, and now we eat the fruit of our own ways, and we are stuffed full with our own counsel? Let me give you a point here. I believe this is what's happening in our nation today. I believe we're eating the fruit of our own ways. God has been kicked out of the public arena, from schools, from government, even nativity scenes removed from public places at Christmas. But by and large, and listen, what I'm about to say is a very strong statement. Not everybody, but by and large, we are a nation of fools, and we're being led by fools. Government does not want to hear this, because they believe the religious right, like me, are a bunch of Bible-thumping, you know what. They think we're weird. They think we're crazy, because we believe the Bible. In Psalms 18, verse 12, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding. instead of focusing totally on where we go from here as America, we need to go back and we need to learn how we got here. And we're not going to do that. Until we go back and see where we made a wrong turn, then we're going to keep going down this my way highway that our politicians are driving the bus and taking us off the cliff. America will not survive much longer if we continue to go down this path. If we continue to spurn God and spurn His word and not listen to His warnings and His mandates, it won't take much longer. Matthew 7:26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them would be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. What can you expect in the future? You can expect more of the same. That's exactly what you can expect. Unless somebody has the guts to step up and take a stand. Ezekiel 22:30, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so I would not destroy it. But I found none. I pray God would use you to stand in the gap, that God would use you as a mature believer to bring blessing to this nation, because it all starts with you. As goes your spiritual life, so goes the history of this great nation. So much more to say in so little time. So until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.